Well, good evening. It's good to be here. And I'm kind of looking you over to see if anybody has chocolate crumbs on their mouth. If I was in charge, I would make that whole side chocolate food and a little over here and maybe some taco salads. So aren't you glad I'm not in charge? Well, as I'm looking around for your at your mouths, I'm also noticing I know pretty much the majority of you, and you know me. So most of you know that my parents are Don and Wanda Gertson, and they were part of the small group of people that started this church in the late 1960s. Both of my parents came to know the Lord at young ages, and they have dedicated their lives to serving the Lord. If you know them, you know that's true. I also have two sisters, Carrie Smith and Kim Woodring, and I'm not looking for them because the family always sits close to the speaker, in support of them, but I think a better idea would be if you made them sit up there. That way you don't see them, and I'm not afraid of tearing up and getting all misty-eyed. If I see them, I might giggle. Well, my husband likes to say that my sisters and I grew up like part of the Brady Bunch. Our dad was an architect and, you know, three sisters with blonde hair, really fun childhood experiences. We did not go to Hawaii or the Grand Canyon, but we did go other fun places and we had a good childhood. And many of my childhood memories involved this church. I can remember I was probably 3 years old, my mother and I bringing cinnamon rolls to the guys that were constructing the chapel. I can still see the 2x4s. I remember the tornado that passed over church in 1971 during an evening service. Gil was praying the final prayer, and the rocks on the top of the chapel roof hit the skylight and made this terrible noise, and it made me jump out of my seat against the brick wall, and Gil quickly said, "Amen," and we all hightailed it out to see. I also enjoyed the evening services at church, especially. Sometimes we'd have a hymn sing, and that's where you raise your hand and say, "I want to sing hymn number whatever." Well, all the kids wanted to sing hymn number 480, The Wonderful Grace of Jesus, which is my all-time favorite hymn. I like the song, but the kids wanted to pick it because it was the only hymn in the book that had two full pages. Yes, I'm seeing some nods. You remember that. My dad was the director, and he finally would say, "Any hymn except 480. I also liked when we had baptism services. If you remember the chapel, the baptistry is under the stage floor. The part of the stage would open up, and the baptistry tank is underneath. So if you got to church early, like my family did, you could sit in that 3-foot-wide front center pew. You remember it? It's real tiny. And you could go and sit there, and you could watch all the people going down in the water. It was highly entertaining. And every time someone was baptized, we sang a certain song, a verse and a chorus. And our lovely choir here, I've always wanted to be a choir director, so our choir here is going to lead us in that song, "I Know Who I Have Believed." There you go. Aren't the words to that song just wonderful? By the time I was 5 years old, I knew him. "I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I knew those words. By the time I was in fourth grade, my dad had closed up his architecture practice and came on staff here at church as a full-time pastor. And that made me a PK, a pastor's kid. And I tell you, I was a good one. I knew all the verses I was supposed to know. I knew all the Bible stories I was supposed to know. And of course, I knew all the songs that I was supposed to know. But something was about to change in my life. One night, my good friend Lynn Workington, let's see, where is she? She's Lynn Jensen now. I saw her. Raise your hand. There you are. She and I went to a youth rally together. And we heard for probably the 100th time the gospel of Jesus Christ. But something was different in my life that night. I felt guilty for the bad things I did, the sin that was in my life. I remember crying about how guilty I felt. A short time later, at our summer girls' camp, Linda Stroh was my cabin counselor, if you remember her. She lives in Phoenix now, and she again drew my attention through what God says about my condition. I want to make sure I read these right. These are verses from Romans. She reminded me that there is none righteous, no, not one, not even me. And I was a PK. For all, including me, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nothing I could do would make me good enough in God's eyes. For the wages or the cost of my sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I remember thinking, I need a Savior. My parents' godliness does not apply to me before my God. God does not have grandchildren. I believed. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That was me that day. That was my day of salvation. I was born again. I was a believer. I was part of God's family, and I remember being so excited. We all know John 3:16. Will you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. As I entered junior high and then high school, God began to show me what it means to be part of God's family, what it means to be living by the Spirit. I didn't always get it right, but I really began to understand how God works in his children's lives. Well, after high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I had friends that wanted to be doctors, and one wanted to be a dentist, and then there was me. I have no clue. I had a boyfriend at the time, and I thought we would end up getting married. That was my plan. And when that didn't happen, I remember praying, well, Lord, that was my plan, but it must not be your plan, so I must be patient and wait to see what you have for me. He did not make me wait very long, for I was talking to my friend, Lynn. She was Lynn Jensen by now. That was late December one year, and she had married Rob Jensen the previous summer. And she said, I know two guys who want to go out with you. And I said, really? Who's the first one? And she told me, and I said, I don't want to go out with him because he wants a wife. I said, who's the other guy? Well, it's Scott Bailey. Scott Bailey. I remember Scott Bailey. Think in your own minds, if you're married, the very first glimpse you had of your future husband. Was it like at a romantic park setting, or were you high school sweethearts, or did you meet at a church? Okay, my first glimpse of Scott. I went to visit Lynn at her school one day. And her class had a test, so they sent me to the next door class. It was Scott's class. And I can remember sitting down in those little seats, you know, at the desk. And I turned around, and there's Scott. And he's sitting at the back of the room like this. And he's laughing. And I know he's laughing at me. He claims he was laughing at all the guys around him that were like, ooh, a girl came to visit. I know he was laughing at me. And he had on a printed T-shirt, and that was against that school's rules. You weren't supposed to wear printed T-shirts. Oh. Well, that was my first glimpse of my future husband. We did go out on a double date with Rob and Lynn, and a couple weeks later was my birthday, and I remember praying that night that, is this the one, Lord? I think it is. And it was. We were engaged by the end of June, and we were married the next year in February. And that was about 13 months since that first date, and it's about 8 years since that first glimpse I had of him. Well, we'd been married about 2.5 months, and Scott fell sick, and he said, I have strep throat. Actually, he said, I have strep throat. And he'd had it before, so he knew he needed to get a throat culture. So I went with him like a good wife, and he went off to get his throat culture, wherever they go, into the lab back there. And he came back a few minutes later, and he said, I have strep throat. and I have cancer. And I said, oh, what, you goof? What about the strep throat? And he said, I have strep throat, but this doctor thinks I have cancer. Remember that little bump I have on my throat, the one I had checked out before we got married and it was supposed to be nothing? This doctor thinks it's thyroid cancer. I was just blanked. What is a thyroid for, what, you know, cancer? Are you kidding? They wanted him to have a biopsy, and if that came back cancerous, he was to have surgery. And we don't remember where we had this conversation, but we finally had a serious conversation. You know, we hadn't been married very long, and the most serious conversation we had had up till then was, do you want pillow mints at our wedding or chocolate stars? We had chocolate stars. But we sat down, and we finally, it came out that, are you concerned about this diagnosis? Are you concerned about the treatments or the prognosis? And neither of us felt scared or concerned. It was just an odd feeling, is how I would have described it. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's what we felt. We should have been terrified or scared or afraid. But for some reason, this surpassing all understanding, we knew we were in God's hands. And we had decided that if we were able to share our faith with someone, especially someone from Scott's family, that this trial or this circumstance we were going through would be okay. Some years ago, a song was written, and I think the words of that song perfectly convey how it feels to be in God's hands when you're in a trial. And I've asked the choir to lead us in that song. It's, I Have a Shelter. Really good, the good words to that song. And every October, I am reminded of the trial or the circumstance that we had in our lives that first few months we were married. Scott has to have his tumor markers tested, and I'm the one that sets up the appointment. I'm the one that nags him to go to the appointment to get his blood work done, and I'm the one that reads the results as they come in the mail. I'm the one that sends up his medication every week. And for me, it's a good reminder how God provided for us and kept us safe and sheltered. Well, God continued to be good to us. We welcomed a daughter, Acacia Lynn. She weighed 7 pounds, 12 ounces. 3 years later, we welcomed Audrey Ray. I think she's over there. She weighed 8 pounds, 12 ounces. And I looked at Scott and I said, that's it. I'm sure 912 was blinking in my head, but our family was complete. I'd like to think we raised our two daughters like I was raised. We served in our church. We added ministries as we got older. We did VBS. I did choir. Oh, I wasn't going to do a cleaning commercial, but I did cleaning at church. That doesn't count as a commercial. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And that's what I try to remind myself when I feel maybe a little lazy about ministry for my Lord. I just keep at it, knowing that is what the Lord wants me to do. Well, young moms, we've been through a stomach bug here at church, right? Think about all of the things you've cleaned up in the last month. And just dwell on that for a moment, because all of a sudden, that baby of yours will be out of high school. It goes so fast. All of a sudden, our baby Audrey was out of high school. There, did I cover a lot of years real fast? Yes. And this has nothing to do with me, but I just think it's funny, so I'm going to tell you. Audrey started hanging out with the college kids here at church, and as a good mother, I would ask her, well, where are you going? Who are you going to hang out with? And her answer always went like this, well, my cousin Greg will be there, and my friend Rochelle, and boy A will be there and boy B and boy C. It's like, okay, have a good time. The next time, who's going to be there? Well, Greg, the cousin, sometimes Rochelle, but boy A and boy B were always in the mix. And so one night I told Scott, I said, our daughter Audrey is interested in a boy. It's boy A or boy B, but I don't know which one it is. I'm going to find out. So that night at dinner, I said, so Audrey, which one is it, boy A or B? Which one are you interested in? And she said, what? How did you know? It's like mothers always know. And I said, I'll tell you how I know if you tell me which boy it is. Because I had said the names to her, who they were. And she says, well, it's Aaron Nicholson. And Aaron's mom's here, so I have to tell the truth, Cindy. Scott and I, our eyes met across the kitchen table, and we're like, Aaron Nicholson, that's the kid we kicked out of children's church. I think it's wonderful how God provides for his children. Even from a young age, he is preparing them for their future life. And at sixth grade, Aaron had the gift of voice. Every week, he could not stop talking to his neighbors in children's church. And I'd have to say, Aaron, are you going to have to sit by me this Sunday? No, Mrs. Bailey. And all those thoughts were all of a sudden running through our heads when we found out our daughter was interested in Aaron. But like I said, God planned for Aaron's life, and now God gave Aaron his gift of voice so that we all can enjoy it every Sunday morning and evening when he leads us in worship and singing. They did get married, obviously, and our daughter Acacia married Brandon Rowley, and between our two daughters and their husbands, we have four grandchildren. Anybody a grandma here? Isn't it the best thing? Do you want me to cut you an apple up, or do you want gummy bears? How about you eat your apple, and then I'll give you three gummy bears. Well, I am in my empty nesting years, and I'm reminded each time I'm with my grandchildren that I have opportunities to share with them. Each of my grandchildren will need to come to know the Lord, each of them, for themselves. God, again, does not have grandchildren or great-grandchildren. So I strive to teach them about the Bible, that God created this world. So what God says about us is important. And I try to point out when they do something wrong that that's sin and that's not acceptable to God. And I hope that someday they will understand that Christ came to earth to pay the penalty for those sins that they commit. And that they too will accept that and believe. If there's anyone here tonight that has not accepted Christ as their Savior, I pray that you will today. Make today be your day of salvation. It's not a better day for it. It's the rest of your life. You will be part of God's family. And he can lead you and shelter you in his care. The choir is going to lead us in one final song after I give us our final prayer. And if the words do not apply to your heart, if they do not describe the condition of your heart, please stay. Come talk to me or my mom or one of my sisters. Talk to your hostess. We will help walk you through how to be saved and be part of God's family. Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Dear Lord, I thank you for each lady that you brought into this building today. We know it's not random that they are here. You brought them here. We thank you for all the food that was shared and eaten and the good fellowship we had. We thank you for Twyla and Chris's good trip to Uganda and all of the wonderful people that they met there. We pray that those that came to know you will continue to grow in you. If there's anyone here tonight that has not accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you draw them to yourselves. Keep us safe as we travel to our homes tonight. In your name, amen.